If we go back and trace the roots of Christian history, we would find that I believe there's no other person to whom we owe more to our history any more than a man by the name of Martin Luther. Luther, a natural-born German, was the son of a renowned lawyer, and at a very early age, he sought to learn and to study the Scriptures. He later graduated from the Augustine Monastery, and in 1507, and he was ordained on a mission to Rome in 1510. Luther became appalled with the corruption of the Roman Church. As a result of that, but being the student that he was of the Word, he became a professor of theology, and he began to preach and teach salvation by faith rather than by works, by which they did. So on October the 31st, 1517, probably the most important date in Protestants' history, Luther posted his 95 theses to the wall of the Cathedral of Wittenberg in Germany, condemning the teaching and the practice of the Roman Church, a day when everyone practically bowed to the Roman Church, and whatever they said, they took that as being the truth. Luther refused to, because he knew what the Bible said, and as a result, he faced much opposition like he had never seen before. And literally, our present-day Reformation began at that time and has had a great influence upon the Protestant church of our day. The Protestant Reformation rested on three principles. First of all, the reestablishment of the Scriptures. And I say today, there's nothing any greater of greater importance than the Word of God. The second thing was the clarifying of the means of salvation. And I tell you today, there's a lot of confusion about salvation. And so I'm grateful today that he saw the need for the clarification of it. And then thirdly, quite interesting enough, the restoration of congregational singing. And I'm grateful today for Luther, but he was later excommunicated. He was summoned to appear before a court and to retract his teachings, but he refused to do so. Needless to say, he faced the fight of his life, but he continued to fight for what was right. It was during that time that Luther wrote this hymn. I had a little idea that today, as we came together, as we think about this, but Luther penned a hymn and based on Psalm 46, and it was the cry of the Reformation, as well as the Protestant Christians down through the years. It's this: it's a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of moral life's prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft, his power are great, and armed with cruel and hate, on earth is not his equal. Without a doubt, this hymn could have been, as it was written in that day, it could have been used as the battle cry for what he was doing. For in this psalm today, we're going to be reminded of the awesome person, the awesome presence, the awesome power of our great God. And today I want to speak to you on the subject, our great God's security. You know, today we live in an age and we talk about security in a lot of ways, but mostly we think of salvation. Friend, I know today that I'm saved and I am secure in my salvation. But my security goes beyond my salvation. My security goes to know that my God shall meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. This beautiful psalm was written. It's divided into three stanzas, and we'll not get past the first verse this morning. But the first stanza, verses 1-3, denotes the presence of God. Where would we be today without the presence of God? He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. In verses 4-7, it speaks of the protection of God. I think we have to be wise in what we do, but we understand that as long as we're doing right, as long as we're obeying God's will, God's hand of protection will be upon us, and nothing, no harm can come to us unless God allows it, and he may do that for some reason or the other. But in verses 8-11, we're reminded of the power of God. Now, I'm telling you, that right there would just preach a good message if I had time to go through all the verses today. But I'm grateful for his presence in my life. I'm grateful for his protection in my life. But most of all, I'm grateful for his power in my life, because he's able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. Thus, the writer that writes Psalm 46, we find here that it's a wonderful comfort to us because it informs us that God is on our side. The scripture said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm glad today that he's on my side. And I pray today that he's on your side. He's on our side. There's none beside, because we thank him today for the peace that we have inside of us and what he does in our life. Yes, I would say today, bless his holy name. A mighty fortress is our God. And so today, I want to take this first verse and share some thoughts with you today that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. Just going to read the one verse. In verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together today and worship you. And I do pray now that you would help us. I pray that you would guide and direct, give us the wisdom, the strength, and the help that we need. And I pray today that your name would be lifted up above all else. And we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I want to remind you as I begin today that I stand here, no, based on no authority of my own, but I stand here today based on the authority of the Word of God and of God. I represent him today, and what I share with you, I will share with you from his word that he penned and he gave to us in order that it tells us how to live and how to act and what we need to do. So I want to speak to you, first of all, about the authority of God that is established. Friend, today I have no problems believing in God. He's proven himself to me time and time again, and I know that he exists. And so this verse that we're reading today, it establishes him right off the bat as our authority that we stand on and depend on. His authority is communicated in his name. The very first word we find in the verse is God. I love to go back and read and talk about what God did. If you remember, it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was God that had the power to create the universe. It's God that has power to do as he chooses. He controls the universe, even in our life. Observe that name God. It comes from the Hebrew word there, Elohim. The name Elohim is a powerful word. Here's what it denotes. It denotes one who is strong and mighty, one who keepeth his covenants. I want to say today, God is stronger than anybody I know, and I want you to know that he is one that promises to keep all the covenants that he makes with us. The word Elohim is found 2,570 times in the Old Testament. The word Elohim is mentioned in Genesis 1:1. I just quoted that. Who is the creator of all the universe? Therefore, we see God, the psalmist referring to him as the mighty one, the strong one. Actually, the definition of the word Elohim, as we know, is God. I recently was reading the other day a date in England's history. In June the 3rd of 1953, there was the coronation of Queen Elizabeth. They had a great celebration. She was placed in a royal chair. She sat upon the throne, and an entourage came before her. And as they came before her, they would bow to her, and they would place in one of her hands a golden scepter. Another bowed and placed in her hand another golden rod. Then a crown was placed on her head, and all shouted, including her husband, "All hail the queen! All hail the queen!" When I read that, I was reminded of one that is far greater than the Queen of England, far more superior than anyone that has ever existed, and his name is Elohim. He's the mighty God. He's the strength and power in our life, and so his authority is communicated in his name. Understand today, God is God. God can do as he pleases, and God will do as he pleases, and we must trust him along the way. You see, his name is far more surmountable than any celebrity that you know. It supersedes all royalties. It outshines all majesties, and it outlives all dignitaries. I'm talking about the mighty King, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, we find that atheists cringe, the infidel cry, and the skeptic choke. They do not want to hear his name. But at the name of Jesus, one day the Bible said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We find in his name one day, it'll cause every king, it'll cause every queen, it'll cause every monarch, every dictator, every prime minister, every general, every president to bow and acknowledge his sovereignty, his sufficiency, and his superiority. Everybody one day will recognize who God is. No wonder the songwriter wrote this. And I didn't know we was going to sing it today. And I'm so glad we did. That's just kind of the way God works, isn't it? But it's all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. I tell you, when you come to church, folks, you need to get excited. We serve a mighty God. We serve a powerful God. A strong God that is able to do all things in our ability to help us along the way. He's the mighty one. He's the strong one. He is Elohim, the creator, the controller, the conductor of all things. His authority is communicated in his name. But furthermore, we find his authority is demonstrated by his nature. We go back and look at the name God again, and we see that his authority is communicated in his name, but it's demonstrated in his nature. We see God, and we know the power of God, but then we see it demonstrated in his nature. For when we consider the name of God, literally what we're doing is considering the nature of God. Well, we could preach a message just on that this morning. But his nature, we see what? We see mercy. We see mystery. We see majesty. We see his supreme nature. We see a superb nature. We see a sovereign nature. We see a nature that's not merely distinct, but it's divine. His authority is demonstrated by his nature in all that he does. I'm grateful today for what God is doing in and through our lives. I want you to know the person of Christ, the nature of God is demonstrated in the fact that his infinite becomes intimate. Friend, God loves you on a personal basis. When a person gets saved, you're not just another number in a line. He knows your name. In fact, he knows more than your name. He knows every hair of your head that is numbered. And I'm grateful today that the Lord is in control of all things and the sovereign Savior becomes approachable. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy. If I went to Atlanta and tried to see the governor, I'd have a hard time getting in. If I went to the Capitol to see the president, I would have a hard time getting in. But I'm grateful today that I can go to the one that is far greater than the president and the governor and any leader in any place. And I can go before the throne of God because he is the strong one. He's the mighty one. And by his very nature, he cares about you and he cares about me. I'm grateful today. Besides him, there's no other that speaks of the authority of God. And we know his authority is established in our life. The second thing I want you to notice this morning is the ability of God that is expressed. Now, right in the middle of verse 1, the psalmist not only shows us God's authority is established, but we see God's ability is expressed. He uses two key words to describe his ability. And we'll see that as we begin to look at it this morning. First of all, his ability is seen by us in times of danger. His ability is seen in us in times of danger. I think today we could get a witness that everybody would say there's been some time in your life when you have experienced some dangerous thing in your life and gone through a difficult time. And then you're reminded it was during that time that God showed up. He came on the scene. He was right there with you through it all, and he knew all about it. And truly today, his ability is able to heal the sick, raise the dead, make the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. And even though he may not choose that, every time we find something quite interesting in this verse. He said, God is our refuge. That word refuge shows his ability in times of danger. I tell you, a place of refuge. I mentioned the other night about going over in the other building, the block building. We were seeking refuge. Now, our refuge is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we was definitely dependent on him. But I tell you, we were seeking a place of safety. We was looking for a place that we could be safe from the storm. And friend, I want you to know today, my God is able to keep us safe through the storms of life. And we see it in His ability when times of danger show up, that He shows up on the scene. The word refuge is a military term. It describes a place of shelter. It speaks of one who is surrounded by the enemy, but he finds a place to protect him. Not going in detail about it this morning, but if you read the Old Testament, there were cities called cities of refuge. If somebody killed somebody, if they did it accidentally, they had to hurry and get to the city of refuge where they would be safe until they could get a fair trial and it would be heard what was right. So all through the Bible, you'll read about the city of refuge. I want you to know today our city of refuge lies in our mighty God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can rest in Him in our life that He will protect us. As He conveyed, God not only expresses His times in times of delight, but also in times of danger. I'm glad that God shows up sometimes in the good times. Sometimes God shows up in the bad time, but it's usually in the bad times that we sense the need of Him more than we do in times of delight. He's our refuge. He's our shelter. He's our protection. This His ability is seen in times of danger. We know that He comes on the scene and what He does and what He will be, what He will do. Perhaps the songwriter had that in mind when he wrote, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me." I don't know today what the situation might be in your life. You may be facing something disastrous. You may be going through something dangerous. Your situation may be far beyond me or you. Perhaps you feel as if you're alone. You may feel this morning you have no place in society. You may feel you have no person to turn to which you can go. Oh, I'm saying today, hallelujah, God is here. He's able. We're going to celebrate next week the fact that He arose victorious over the grave. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I today. And He'll meet our needs along the way. He is here to pardon us. He's here to preserve us. He's here to protect us. And friend, the psalmist summed it up well when he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." He said, "Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." I'm so glad today that our God has the great ability to pardon us, to preserve us, and protect us along the way. His ability is seen in times of danger. I would suggest to you today, don't wait till danger to try to get a hold of Him. You need to be a hold of Him all the time, so when times of danger come, it will not be strange to you trying to connect. I think today that we need to understand that somebody said recently, you know, God's not a spare tire. He's not somebody we just call on when we need Him. He's somebody we depend on every day that we live, and understand when trials come, He will show up if we're walking in His will and obeying His words. Second of all, we find His ability is shown not only in times of danger, but in times of demand. He says, "Our refuge and our strength." His ability is not only seen in times of danger, but we find here it's seen in times of demand. The word strength denotes might, force, and power. It speaks of the idea of one who has grown weary, weak, and worn, and has a great need of help. I venture to say today that if we ask you to raise your hand, there are a lot of people who said, "Preacher, I fall in that category. I'm weary, I'm weak, and I'm worn, and I need help." I remember what the psalmist said. He said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Friend, the only thing that keeps me going today is knowing that my God, my mighty God, is my security. He's there for my protection, and He'll show up in my times of demand. The same word was used in Isaiah 40, verse 31, when he said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." I tell you today, sometimes waiting's good. Sometimes when we find the waiting that comes to us, we understand that God's waiting is a way and a plan to get us where we need to be. The implication is as though we grow tired, we may grow weary, but friend, He never forsakes us and He never will. He's always there. He's our refuge. He's our strength. And no matter how low we get or where we come to in our life, God will never leave us nor forsake us. He promised to be with us in our times of need. It's interesting to note, if you'll remember the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived, a man that established many churches and did a great work and gave us much of the New Testament through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You remember Paul had what he called a thorn in the flesh. It's been debated as to what it was. We understand Paul had bad eyesight and he had a bad back. And yet we find that Paul prayed three times, "Lord, would you remove this thorn from my flesh?" And God did not see fit to remove that thorn in his flesh. But here's what he did see fit today. He said, "Paul," he said, "my grace is sufficient for thee." And I'm glad today that even in our times of trial, when God doesn't come on the scene the way we want him to, he proves that he's there. And the time he said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." That's what Paul said. He said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Friend, for us to be the kind of Christian we need to be, sometimes God has us to allow some suffering and some heartaches and some disappointments. And it may be all just to bring us to a closer relationship with him, so that his presence will be recognized and realized. I don't know how many times that I found my fuel tank running low and on empty. I know all of us from day to day with all the activities, and again, I'm not just making excuses, but sometimes the older we get, the more they come, and we get tired and weary, and we get weighted down beneath the load. But I'm glad today that we've got the lifter-upper of the load, and he'll come in our times of demand. You know why? Because he's our refuge. He's our refuge and he's our strength. His ability is seen in times of danger. His ability is shown to us in times of demand. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly grateful today that our Almighty God has the ability that is expressed to us in times of disappointment, times of danger, and in times of demand. Then thirdly, we see the activity of God that is explained. In the last part of verse 1, the psalmist now focuses upon the authority of God. We've seen him talk about the ability of God, but now he wonderfully explains the activity of God. He reminds us of God's presence in our life. Now, friend, I think all of you know this for a fact, but if you're born again and saved by the grace of God, he lives in me. I remember the song the Hinkles used to sing. It's called "He Lives in Me." And I tell you today, I want you to know he lives in everyone that has been born again by the Spirit of God. He lives in you. We see a presence that is comprehensive. The psalmist informs us that God is our refuge and strength. But look at that last phrase. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. In so doing, he explains to us, his presence is comprehensive. We live in the presence, right? So he's always available. The literal rendering of this verse, actually, we can look at it this way, not changing the scripture. The Bible said God is our refuge and strength. But literally what he's saying is, I'm abundantly available to you in your time of need. Anytime that you need me, I'm there for you. Call on me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Thus we now see the realm. We see the vastness of his presence. The psalmist is referring here to the presence of God. And God's presence, by the way, is plenty adequate, is satisfactory, and is sufficient. Rather, he's saying that his presence is more than enough to handle the job. We don't need to ever say, call somebody else. I tell you, when you got the Lord on your side, that's all you need. I'm not saying ignoring doctors or not going if you have an emergency. But you see, sometimes God shows up at the emergency room and he guides the hand of the physician in order that he might help us. But friend, lest us never get to the point to where we don't understand that our God is the one that's the great physician. He's the healer, he's the helper, he's the strength in our time of needs, and he's abundantly available to us any time, day or night, if we call upon him and hear an answer. Sometimes, and I've tried in the ministry to do that, sometimes I get calls in the middle of the night or late, and it's not things that you know that we want to hear. But I tell you, as your pastor, I want to be available to you. But I only want to be available to you to remind you that the one that is much greater than I is more available to you in your time of need. And he'll be there for you. And he said, a very present help in the time of trouble. You see, he's far greater today than the government of the United States. He's greater than the United States Army. He's greater than the FBI. We have the presence of God, the God of the universe that indwells our body, and his presence is comprehensive. And we're understanding that he is always available. It matters not what we face, because his presence always supersedes the needs. When God shows up, things happen, because he has power and the ability. And then we see his presence that is continuous. The psalmist words, a very present help in the time of trouble. Not only do we see a presence that is comprehensive, but we see a presence that's continuous. I love the words. He said, if you're saved, trusted Christ, call upon his name, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I remember the choir used to sing when I was a little boy. They sang that song, No, Never Alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. And I'm so glad today that when I read that, that God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. He's there all the time, and we see that it's comprehensive. He is focused upon the present state of wherever we are. Listen, God knows what's going on in your heart today. But greater than that, tomorrow you'll be living in the present. But he in the present, God knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day. It speaks of the fact that his help is always present and near us. Thus we find ourselves living in the present. We see that his presence will always continuously be there with us. I'm so thankful today. And I've said today, and I'm glad that I don't serve a dead Savior. I serve a risen Savior. I'm glad today that I don't pray to some guy that's a God that's buried in the cemetery. I pray to a God that became victorious over the grave, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for you and I. I don't understand people that don't believe in God. The Bible said, and this is what God said, the Bible says, it said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I read about a man that one time was trying to raise his child to be an atheist. His son, no doubt, had heard some things about God. And so his dad was trying to indoctrinate him that there was no such thing as a God. And so he wrote on a piece of paper the word nowhere. Nowhere. And he asked his son, said, son, what does this say right here about God? It says, God is nowhere. The only problem is that was one word. And he left a little bit too much space between the O and the W. Between the W and the H. And the little boy read it this way. He says, God is now here. His dad wanted him to say, God is not, God is nowhere. But now that the separation was there, he said, God is now here. And I want to refer to you this morning that God is now here. He promised to meet with us. He promised to help us. He promised to strengthen us and give us the things we need as we go along the way. If you're without Christ this morning, there's no hope. Listen, I'm telling you today, your only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And I'm so thankful as a 10-year-old boy, I bowed my head and I prayed, I received Jesus Christ, and he has never left me. And he's been a present help in the time of need. He's comprehensive. We see it in his presence. It's continuous. I am that I am. I'm thankful today for God's unseen hand. I've used the illustration in the past, but the story never gets old. There was a missionary that was on some islands, and there was natives years ago. And that night around the mission station, they were gathered, and they saw the natives, had them surrounded. They were up on the hill. They were fixing to attack, and they knew their life was about to be destroyed. When all of a sudden, after a few hours of them looked like staging to attack, the natives turned and went back in the opposite direction from which they came. The missionaries were a little dumbfounded and a little trying to determine really what happened. Of course, they knew God was in control. And a couple of years later, the head of that tribe got born again. He got saved. And the missionary couldn't help himself. He said, listen, now that you're saved, I remember 2 years ago on such and such a night, I remember y'all surrounded our camp and it looked like you were going to attack. What is it that happened? And here's what the native said. He said, who was all those men you had down there with armor on? The missionary said, we didn't have no men with armor on. Oh, yes, you did. They were all around the camp and we knew that we could not attack. Somebody said, oh, that's just a good story to make you feel good. You can call it a good story if you want to, but I believe God can make men in armor stand around a camp of missionaries to protect them because he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And what God will do for missionaries, he'll do for you. If you'll depend on him and trust him. I thank God for his unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. Regardless of where we go, regardless of what we face, regardless of what we do, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. What we've seen today is the authority of God that is established, the ability of God that is expressed, and the activity of God that is explained. Yes, I would agree with Luther today. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. He is our mighty God of security. He will not fail you. Trust in him today. Can trust in him every day and invite him to come into your heart and give you eternal life if you never have.